Please keep your Bible open at Matthew 13. We're going to have a reading. Ailey's going to come and read that to us. Matthew 13, verses 44 to 46. Ailey, after you've read, will you pray briefly for us as well? Great.
The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, thank you that you've given us the gift of your word. Thank you that you've given us, you've gifted people with the ability to teach us it well. And we pray for Doogie now. Please help him to bring your word to us faithfully. Thank you that your word is powerful to change our hearts and to grow our love for you. And we pray that that will be the case this morning. Please teach us and change us and help us to love Jesus more through it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ailey. Keep your Bible open at Matthew 13. Both Matthew and Luke tell the story about a man who comes to the Lord Jesus and asks how he can be part of his family, part of his kingdom. The man claims that he's been rigorously good his whole life. I find that quite difficult to believe, but he claims that. But the Lord Jesus says to him, there's still something that you lack. I want you to sell everything you've got, give it to the poor, and then come follow me. The man can't and won't do it. For him, the cost of following the Lord Jesus was too high. His money, or his family, or his friends, or his house with his two-chariot garage, whatever it was, when he weighed it up with the cost of following Jesus, said, following Jesus isn't worth it. That's the question posed, I think, by our parables today. Is it worth following Jesus? Is it worth the cost? Is it worth maybe changing our routines so that we can come here and meet with the Lord's people and perhaps upset our family? Is it worth it? Is it worth coming on a Tuesday night to pray or coming to Discipleship Explored when it'd be much easier to sit at home and watch the telly? Is it worth it? Is it worth perhaps giving up things that we love? Maybe even people that we love. Relationships that may make us feel great, but actually have a really bad effect on us. Is it worth giving up desires that every part of us says, I want to do this, but the Lord Jesus says, that is not good for you. Is it worth it? What about our brothers and sisters in parts of the world being tortured for their faith today? Is it worth following Jesus? Is it worth being rejected by family, chucked out into the street? Is it worth death for following Jesus? Maybe you got up this morning and you thought, is it worth even going to church? Couple of more hours in my bed, man. Oof. Is it worth it? I want to tell you today that the Lord Jesus says, yes, it is. Isn't the good news that it is worth it? It is worth it. He says it's worth following him. It's worth every sacrifice. It's worth everything. And though we might struggle to believe it, following Jesus, he says, is worth more than family or money or work or any of those things that we think will make us really, really happy. The Lord Jesus says nothing is greater than following him. It's worth it. Look carefully at who the Lord Jesus is speaking to here. In verse 36, he left the crowd and went into the house. Who does he then speak to? By audience participation? His disciples. His followers, those who in some way have counted the cost of following him. Now, perhaps, as we've seen in the last few weeks, as opposition to the Lord Jesus has grown from Pharisees, from others who have accused him of all sorts of things, maybe doubts have grown in their minds. Maybe Peter and Andrew are thinking, do you know what? Should we go back to the fishing? Is it worth it? Maybe Matthew was saying, do you know what? People hated me when I was a tax collector, but at least I was getting rich. Is it worth it? And the Lord Jesus says to his disciples, these two parables, to leave any fears that they have about it being worth it. And here are three simple things that I hope will help us to see why it's worth following Jesus from these two parables. Number one, it's worth following Jesus because the kingdom of heaven is valuable. Verse 44, kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. In Jesus' day, I'm told, it wasn't uncommon for people to bury their valuables. I don't know if you've got a safe in your house, or some of you might have a burglar alarm, and you know, in those days, of course, there was none of those things. Banks weren't readily available either. So the safest thing for people to do when, if they were going on holiday with their valuables, instead of lugging them all with you, I will just bury it somewhere. It's the safest thing to do. But one day some guy goes out and he's just digging in a field. He's digging. And click, his shovel hits. Wait a minute, that's not a rock. He finds a big pile of treasure. And the man recognizes it's not that it's just valuable, it's better than anything he has. So he sells everything and buys the field. Now, don't miss the point. Don't miss the point. There'll be some people thinking, shouldn't he have told the owner of the field? Or, well, isn't he being dishonest? That's not the point. The point is that following Jesus is worth selling everything and buying the field. Similar in the second story, verse 45. Kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. This time we've got a market trader who knows a good item when he sees it. He's off visiting a market one day, you know, he's off visiting a market, he likes pearls. He's snooping around, I've seen stuff like that. But then his eye is drawn to the clearest, brightest, best. I don't know the other terms for pearls, but it is the best pearl he's ever seen. So he sells everything to get his hands on this pearl. To be part of God's royal family. To be part of that kingdom is more precious, Jesus says, than anything else we might have. Do we really believe that? The Lord Jesus says that to discover he's come from heaven to tell us the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, to know that he wants to give our souls rest, to trust that he died on the cross to fix the brokenness that sin has made in our lives, to know that he rose from the dead is more precious than gold or silver. To be in a right relationship with the God who made us now and forever. To be sure that our sin is totally forgiven and we'll never answer for it. To be loved by God. To never have to worry, am I valuable? We are. To have God, the Holy Spirit, living within us. To have a secure place in heaven when we die. All won for us and given to us as we come and put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says, he's worth it. It's worth it. We've not lost out. Lots of us will have seen the daytime antique shows. The floggets, the bargain hunts, the antiques roadshow stuff. You know, they saw some guy goes up to the valuer and he's like, oh yeah, my grandfather bought this for 3 shillings 130 years ago. And they're really hoping that the valuer is going to say, this is worth £500,000. But the guy turns around and says, I'm really sorry, it's only worth a tenner. Too often I wonder, we think we've got the Lord Jesus, and he's not worth much. But something else would be better. Would I really miss it if he wasn't here? I hope he's valuable, but I'm not sure. We get so confused, we think that choosing our sin will make us much happier. The devil loves to come and whisper in our ears, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. But the Lord Jesus says to those who come to him, who have asked him to forgive our sins, that it's valuable. Being part of his kingdom is worth selling everything else to gain. And it's so precious because it cost him his life. It's worth it because the kingdom of heaven is valuable. It's also worth it because finding Jesus, well, it's a great privilege. Back at the start of November, in the news, there was a story about the largest amount of Anglo-Saxon coins or gold was found, and it was declared to be treasure. I don't know exactly the legal ins and outs of that, but until a judge basically says that something's finders keepers, then it's not finders keepers. Okay, so if you dig something up in the back of your garden, someone has to come along and say, yep, you can keep that, or it belongs to someone else. Anyway, 131 coins and some gold bars that dated back to AD 600 or so were found in a field. Now, even if you're really good at finding buried treasure, the odds of finding something after 1,400 years, that's amazing. Like, think how many times that field must have been dug up, planted, plowed. Think how many rabbits or badgers or whatever other burrowing animals are there have gone in there, and yet it was untouched. Yet some guy came along with a metal detector, and it was literally some guy with a metal detector, found this massive haul of gold. Now in these parables, there's an element of good fortune in finding the gold and finding the pearl. Now, I don't believe in luck or fate or words like that. The Bible tells us that what happens, God is in control of. God controls, God ordains, God permits, that sort of language. But from a human point of view, not everyone who digs finds. Not everyone who goes looking for pearls finds them. Just a little story that shows a bit about my childhood. We would go to Scarborough every year on a summer holiday when we were kids. And back in them days, at the end of a kind of busy summer's day, you would see metal detectors, you know, kind of amateur guys walking up. And do you remember seeing them at the beaches? Yeah, one or two people. Here's how cruel me and my brother were. We'd walk across the sand and drop a penny here and there, okay, just to wind the guy up. Isn't that, that's so cruel, isn't it? But the Lord Jesus says, it's a privilege to find his kingdom. Followers of Jesus, if you like, are the lucky ones, the fortunate ones, the privileged ones, the ones who go out with a metal detector and somehow strike gold. Well, in fact, in the first parable that we're told, the man wasn't even looking for it. He was just digging and found gold. He stumbles across the Lord Jesus. Some people find the Lord Jesus like that. They stumble across him. How does the Lord Jesus do that? Well, through people like us popping up into people's lives and speaking about the Lord Jesus in our faith. Maybe someone from your school or who lives near you or you work with tomorrow bumps into someone from Berry Street Community Church and asks what they were doing on Saturday night. And they say, well, we were making some Christmas bunting, but there was this lady who came and told us something about her faith in the Lord Jesus. And your friend, whoever they are, who wasn't expecting to meet the Lord Jesus. Someone I met once became a Christian in prison. And in his cell, there wasn't much in it other than a Bible, one or two other things. And he found the Bible useful, the pages of the Bible were useful for rolling up cigarettes. And he smoked his way through Matthew, Mark, and Luke before he decided to read it. And when he read it, guess what happened? He became a Christian. He stumbled across it. Or maybe a mum that you know goes to a local tots group, not knowing what to expect, and they stumble across the Lord Jesus. Or maybe some retired folks come to a monthly Monday afternoon cafe for a chat, and they think they're just coming for a cup of coffee and some lovely cake, and it's great, but actually, they stumble onto the Lord Jesus. Some people find the Lord Jesus by what looks to our eyes an accident, but it's a privilege. There's also those who find the Lord Jesus because they're looking for something. That's what the man with the pearls is like. He's looking for the brilliant pearl. And it's true of some people today. It's dead easy to think that no one I know is interested in hearing about the Lord Jesus or finding out about him. That's not true. Loads of people are. God has created humans with a sense that something more than what we just see around us is going on. There's a sense of eternal things, spiritual things inside of us. Not everyone has dismissed and written off God. Very few people head towards death thinking, well, I hope there's nothing else out there. And when someone brings the Lord Jesus to those people, for some, what are we told? It's like a merchant looking for fine pearls. And when he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. The Lord Jesus is different to anything they've ever heard about. Maybe all they've heard about God is that he wants to spoil their fun. Or he just wants me to try to be good. I wouldn't want to follow that God either. But we know the pearl of great price. We know the treasure that's hidden in a field. And it's a much better story than that. Jesus isn't looking for perfect people to try and be good. He welcomes the lost and the least and the lonely. And he welcomes those who have got heavy hearts and souls. And he says, I'll give you rest. And you don't need to smarten up your act to God. He says, come to me. I'll give you what you're looking for. I'll give you the help that you need. As we trust in him, trust that he died in our place to give us eternal life. He promises that he'll change us. Not because he's a spoil sport, but because he wants us to live his way, because it's the best life. Every other religion says, do this and get right with God. Jesus says, come to me. You can't do it yourself. You'll never be good enough. But he'll give us the peace, the joy, the love, the life that we need. That is the treasure. That is the pearl. It is worth selling everything for to buy. Is it worth it? Jesus says yes. Now, if you're here this morning and you don't consider yourself a Christian, you might just have struck gold today. Not everyone got up and came to church. Not everyone heard the songs that we've sung about the Lord Jesus. Not everyone heard the prayers. Not everyone heard the word that we've been listening to. And the Lord Jesus calls you today to give your life to him. To sell whatever you have. To give your life over to him. And you do that by confessing that you've sinned. You need the forgiveness that only he can give. You need to confess that, yeah, you thought his kingdom was worthless, that he was worth a lot of junk. But actually, he's the pearl of great price and he's a treasure hidden in a field. And as you do that, you'll experience the joy of entering the priceless kingdom of heaven. If we're already Christians, do we still have the joy that these guys have of being in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus? Is he worth it? Yeah. There's one more thing I want to say. It's worth following Jesus. It's valuable. But it is costly. See, in both stories, the man in the field and the merchant, they make a huge sacrifice to take hold of the treasure, don't they? They sell whatever they have and they buy those things. Imagine the conversation with their families that day. Dear, I've sold the house. I sold the animals. I flogged your jewelry in the car. Why? I wanted to buy a field. You did what? I wanted a pearl. Oh, what? Eh? Now, the Lord Jesus isn't demanding that everyone sells everything. Some may have to, but he wants us to be under no illusion that following him will be costly. Sacrifice needs to be made to follow Jesus. He makes this point more than a few times in the Gospels. Over in chapter 16, verse 24, he says to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it." In Luke 14, the Lord Jesus says that we have to put him before our parents and our brothers and sisters and even our children. And if we can't and won't, then we can't be his disciples. There's a cost. What? Will we give up what our hearts want? Will we put Jesus first? Now, there's lots of different ways, and often it's quite specific. Young people, there'll be a time where perhaps you're thinking, go off to university. Now, there's lots of things to think about there. And there might be lots of good options. Will you choose one where there's a good church that you know about? And put that over and above the place where you want to go and study? I don't know. That may be counting the cost. Maybe you're thinking of, instead of going to uni, having a year out and saying, well, can I go somewhere and serve the Lord Jesus with that year? That may be counting the cost. For some of you, you may be thinking, well, I've got a bit of spare money. Could I give it to church to be used to spread the gospel? That might be counting the cost. Maybe you've got some time in your hands and you think, well, I could donate a day or half a day to serve in the church. That might be counting the cost. Parents, perhaps instead of thinking, should I send my kid to the best school that I can? Well, will I send them to a local school so that I can meet other parents as a way to talk about Jesus? That might be counting the cost. Listen, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm saying that for each and every one of us, there'll be times where we've got to think, I've got to count the cost of following Jesus. The Lord Jesus is really upfront about the sacrifices involved in being part of his kingdom. He's upfront, though, as well, about the gain. And it is much greater than any pain that we will get in following him. Some people here have made great sacrifices, I know that, in following Jesus. But you know, like the guys in the story who sacrificed, what you got in return was awesome, to be part of this great kingdom. A few weeks ago, I was at a church for a conference in East London. The name of the church is called East London Tabernacle, down in Mile End. One of the pastors in that building in the early days was a guy called Archibald Brown. Great name, isn't it? Archibald Brown. Let me tell you a little bit about him. In 1874, that's how long back we're going, his first wife died. There was something like six kids. In 1875, he married his second wife. In 1876, she also died. As he was recovering from his mourning, his heartbreak, one night he went along to another church to hear one of his pals preaching. And you can still read what his pal preached that night on the 24th of September, 1876. And I don't know if his pal preached on this topic because that Archibald Brown was there, but the topic that he preached on is, why are the heavenly robes white? Why are those who have gone to heaven, why are their heavenly robes white? And he said something like this. What are those newcomers to heaven doing? Well, they're not kept waiting outside. And they don't have to go through a period of quarantine. As soon as they arrive, they're admitted into heaven. They live forever before the throne of God and the Lamb, favored to behold the face of God without a veil, without any protective covering, and to see the King in his beauty. Earth is quickly faded from their minds, and heaven's glory is flashed upon them. The sick bed and weeping friends are gone. Their Savior fills their whole field of vision. They don't need a time of instruction from angels, but begin their heavenly life at once. They take up the tune of the choir at just the right moment. They join in the hymn as soon as they arrive. How sweet it is to think of those who have lately left us, that though they broke off this mortal life, as it were, before it was complete, yet they do not begin life up yonder prematurely or abruptly, but at exactly the right time. The new singer takes his place in the choir just when his part is beginning. He takes up the right note as if he'd been part of that choir for a century. He begins his song with his white robe on and his palm branch in his hand as one who is well prepared to take his part in the endless praise. Will it be worth following the Lord Jesus? Yeah, it is. He promises it to us. Let's pray, shall we? Our Father in heaven, so often, as your followers, we can think that we're not part of a brilliant kingdom that is growing and spreading. We think that being part of the family of the Lord Jesus is not worth much. Give us eyes to see how valuable it is. Help us to see that it's worth selling everything and buying the field. That it's worth selling everything and buying the pearl. That there's no better place to be than in your kingdom. Father, help us to hold that truth that one day when we are part of the heavenly choir, we'll see that yes, yes, it was worth it. Thank you that the Lord Jesus wants us to know this today, that he told this parable to his followers. Encourage us in Jesus' name. Amen.